Stephen Wonder. Stephen! With his cover of the Red Hot Chili Peppers classic Higher Ground. That was by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, wasn't it? That was a little joke.
That was good.
It's the other way around. Hi, this is Adam.
Hey, this is Joe. Happy Saturday morning, listeners.
Yeah, welcome.
Welcome along to our show here on BBC Six Music. We're with you until noon, and we've got an action-packed show today.
Oh, that's a grand claim.
I think it's true. I'm backing it up with pure content.
Right.
We got a special announcement later.
Have we?
About an event.
That's true, isn't it?
Exactly. We've got the results of Song Wars.
An event that you, the listeners, are very much a key part of, or will be, when it happens.
We've got Text the Nation.
Yeah.
We've got Retro Text the Nation.
Oh, my Lord.
We've got we got a Stan Black Squadron to attention. It's nothing but business.
We've got great music. We've got a little bit of bad music.
We got some bad. See if you can spot the bad ones this week, listeners.
But don't switch off, right?
Because
the thing about music is that it always ends, even if it's a little bit ropey. It's only about 2.5 minutes, and you know, and then something else will be along.
Exactly. And you've got to have some rough with the smooth. You've got to have some bad songs to make the good songs really shine.
That's true, isn't it?
That's deep, isn't it?
You've got to have a little bit of rough with the smooth, mate.
That's very deep, isn't it?
You know, the way your brain works, mate, sometimes I just think, yeah, you think a lot of deep stuff.
Do you know what my mum used to say to me, mate, when I was growing up?
No.
She said, one day, you should read a book.
Oh, mate.
Was it write
what
a book?
What did she mean? What was she talking about?
Maybe she meant write a book.
Write a book.
But
ride it like a horse. You should ride a book. You should strap a saddle onto a book and ride it along the sea.
Along the sea?
Yeah.
Are we going to make Black Squadron stand to
attention? Let's have the Black Squadron jingle right now. Black Squadron!
Always catch the beginning of the show. Black Squadron don't want to miss a thing. That's not the way Black Squadron roll. Black Squadron! Went to bed at a reasonable hour. Gotta be sharp on Saturday morning. That's the secret of the Squadron's power.
For a jingle that's supposed to be kind of a rousing
punchy
call to arms, it's a little bit stodgy, isn't it?
It's good, man.
Well, that's nice of you to say, but I think I'm going to have to try and rebrand the Black Squadron.
Listen,
jingle.
Last week you made some suggestions that maybe the whole Black Squadron thing was quite sort of childish. You know, sort of...
Well, some of your commands, Commander Cornish.
Do you think?
I mean, it's like tickle each other.
Tickle. That was last week, tickle. But I tried to make it clear to you last week that
jelly.
I haven't had jelly yet. That is a good idea.
He's writing it down.
Jelly.
Have some jelly.
But, you know, I explained to you that tickling is a dangerous thing. It can result in suffocation.
Yeah.
And, you know, here you are still saying that that's childish. So I think you don't really understand. I mean, for instance, this week's Black Squadron command could be interpreted as... I ignored it.
Doing it.
It could be interpreted as childish.
Right, could it?
Yeah.
That's a surprise.
As like from a program for the under 10s.
Yeah. Well, that's more or less what this is, though, isn't it?
I don't know.
You know, it has. It's turned into... Was it Tony Blackburn that used to have the dog? You know?
Oh, yes.
No, Arnold.
Yeah.
We've got Boggins. You might be along later.
That's
what this show is, isn't it?
Well, in that case, we should be... we should listen to some of those old shows and make sure we're reproducing every segment accurately.
I think we already are. Because I was thinking, like, for Black Squadron, would it not be practical to have some commands that, you know, have some practical use? Like, you know, pick up the phone and talk to your mum. You know, give your mum a call. Something like that. Write a thank you letter.
Yeah.
You know, these kind of things.
Some
recycling.
That would be no good.
Would it not?
This is the kind of command Black Squadron want. Pan hat!
That's the very best. With Warm Heart of Africa, features Ezra Koenig, of course, from Vampire Weekend. And an album of the same name was released on September the 14th. That was very recently, Joe.
Very recently.
That sort of puts me in mind of... what's his name? Malcolm McLaren type experiments, duck rock type things. You know, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a good thing. I think what's that album? Is the album called Duck Rock?
McLaren's album.
Mm.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's probably quite a good album.
Uh-huh.
Haven't listened to it for about 20 years.
He did some real stinky ones as well, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
Do you know, Waltz, Darling. I went through a phase of actually loving that one. His kind of opera, opera,
right?
House thing.
Opera house.
Yeah, it was used a lot on. Catwalks,
Catwalks.
For the fashion industry.
Yes.
And I'm very big into the fashion industry, so it's an important album for me. We got a letter, or an email rather, from a listener this week, which I'd like to share with you. This is from Amelia Fionda, and she says, "Hi there, I may be 60 this month, but I have an adolescent streak. I enjoy your intelligent and witty banter, personal interactions and disclosures. Usually, I listen to the whole programme." Because we were talking about people, like whether they listen to the whole show or not the other day. So this lady, who's going to be 60 this month, she listens to the whole thing. "Some of the music doesn't appeal," she says, "but that's when I make quick free weekend calls." "Are your listeners mostly teenagers or older, for example, in your age bracket? I ask because next time I see an interesting bunch of teens, I plan to cycle on my rainbow bike and yell out Stephen, just for their facial expressions when they see a grey-haired woman." Do you think that's a good idea? What's that chuckle?
I don't know. Just, I don't know. Is it their facial expressions because they're just seeing a grey-haired woman?
Yeah, maybe.
Or is it the fact that she's saying Stephen?
Both, probably.
I think she's unlikely to get any response from either.
They might just think she's mental.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Do we have lots of teenage listeners? I mean, the fact is we don't have lots of listeners, full stop.
Yeah, you reckon?
Yeah, it's a small, very small, exclusive percentage of the population.
It's just Amelia Fionda and a couple of our friends.
Yeah, and the Black Squadron.
And Black Squadron, of course.
I wonder how they're getting on with their command.
Right, so pan hat, that you're just using a pan as a hat.
Could be interpreted that way.
Yeah, and not a pot hat, because a pan is difficult to balance on your head.
Well, I meant, that's the distinction between a pot and a pan. I mean, I thought any kind of pan would do, you know? What's the difference between a pot and a pan?
I think of a pan as being wider and shallower.
A cooking pot.
A pot is more of a...
I think a pan is a collective term for any sort of... There you go. This chap's got it right. This is from Sam in Oxford. You see, he's got... Look at that. Look at the face. Look at his face.
He really looks entirely mentile.
He's definitely a squadron leader.
He looks a bit like me. He's got that a little beard and...
He's got his tongue sticking out and one eye bulging. and the pan hat is on the kind of jaunty angle.
We can't put that on the blog immediately, can we, James? We'll put it over the weekend.
And it's the way he's got the handle sticking out there between his eyes, almost like a sort of broken Dalek. You see? And now that might seem like a childish command, but that guy now has a very highly protected head. also a kind of proboscis that can be used... for operational duties. I just don't think you get Black Squadron.
Maybe I don't.
I don't think you understand that these commands are actually very practical.
He looks special.
Well, exactly. I mean, he's having a psychological effect on you. You see, it's like the man who stared at goats, or whatever it's called.
Yes.
He's freaking your mind out.
Really,
you can't
totally
deal with it.
Scrambling up my mind.
You think it's silly.
No, I don't. Now you're going too far.
Sorry.
I think he's amazing.
Okay.
It's time for a free play now, listeners. This is Syd Barrett, and it's a song called Bob Dylan Blues, which was unearthed not that long ago. It was in Dave Gilmour's...
Drawers.
It was down his pants, and it had been down
found
there,
it there
ever since 1970.
They unearthed it.
He immediately...
Wizard Earth it was covered in? What was it covered in?
They prized it out.
And, that's bad.
What is it? It's the Bob Dylan Blues. It's been down there for an awfully long time.
Something that's been chaffing for years.
So they included it on this compilation, a best of, the compilation's called Wouldn't You Miss Me or something like that. But it's quite weird. Like, he does a little pastiche of Bob Dylan, you know, sings in the Bob Dylan style and slightly takes the mick out of him, but then is very affectionate and, you know, clearly he was influenced by Dylan as well. Hope you enjoy this, Bob Dylan Blues by Syd Barrett. I remember when I was younger, I did a picture, spent all afternoon drawing a picture of Lou Reed, copying the cover of Transformer, and then I wrote Lou Reed Vicious on top of it, like it was a poster or something.
Cool.
My dad came in, "What are you drawing?" "Look, Dad." And he sort of read it very solemnly, "Lou Reed Vicious." "Well, what does it mean?" I said, it's one of his songs. "He looks loathsome." And he walked down. That was it.
Wow. It didn't dent your love for Lou Reed or viciousness.
No, I'm absolutely a vicious person in every conceivable way.
Really,
I absolutely loved it. But no, it didn't dent my love for Lou Reed, despite the fact that I saw him doing that song on, you know, the Classic Albums show, which I really love those Classic Albums documentaries. And they did one on Transformer. And Lou Reed, he behaves like such a ponce throughout. You know, I mean, he's famous for being a bit of a ponce anyway. But he completely, you know, mauls all the songs. He plays, like, daft versions. The classic in the genre is Pink Floyd. And when they do Dark Side of the Moon on classic albums, Roger Waters and Dave Gilmour, they do really beautiful little acoustic versions of some of the songs on there, you know, and very faithful. Lou Reed, he's like just sort of going, Vicious, you hit me with a flower. Do it every hour. Baby, you're so vicious. And he's playing all like mad chords and stuff because he thinks it's too boring just to play it properly. I wanted to kill him!
I mean, there's a saucepan, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, you're saying that you think it should have been what? In what do you think it should have been, the command?
For Black Squadron.
Mm.
No, that's good. I mean, they've obviously got it. We've got some amazing pictures coming in, listeners, of people.
But you were saying you thought a pan was like a frying pan. Was too shallow to be worn as a hat.
Yeah, pan hat. If someone just says pan to me, if someone says hand me a pan.
I haven't got over that accusation yet. I need to talk it through.
You're obviously stung by it.
I'm stung by it because, you see, of course, there's a saucepan, isn't there? And that's deep, you know. You don't fry things in a saucepan.
You didn't say saucepan, you said
a pan. I said pan hat.
Pan hat.
Pan hat. We've had some amazing photos through.
Yeah.
And the speed with which some of Black Squadron have responded is extraordinary. Mm. How long did it take for the first pan hat photo to come through, James? It was a matter of seconds.
3 minutes.
It 3 minutes. 2 minutes. I mean, we could have a kind of a record breakers thing going on here, couldn't we? I mean, we could time. Do you think anyone could get a response in to the studio in under a minute next week?
Surely.
Do you think that would be amazing? I mean, that would be like an incredible moment of sporting history, wouldn't
it? Well, we'd do it live, would we? We'd actually, we'd say, and then we'd
count. I mean, that would be like breaking the 1 minute mile.
Boop, beep,
you know?
Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep,
we'd play that music.
That music.
We'd play that music. We wouldn't play that music.
Could we not?
No, not the first one, yeah.
Boop, beep, boop, beep, boop,
yes,
beep, boop,
that's the music.
That's the new LaRue single.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's very, it's unusually overproduced for her. But the amazing photos. Weirdly, what seems to be happening in couple-type relationships is we get a picture of the lady with the hat, but sent by the man.
That's the way it works with the sexes, isn't it? The man controls the camera. He knows how to work the camera. The lady deals with the pans.
So there's a woman called Ryan, and she's just balancing a frying pan on her head, which is good because it works as a hat, but then if you need to repel someone with a frying pan
wallop,
you can tip your hat politely and also wallop them.
You know, because the reason I thought of pans
gesture.
Like shallow pans is because you know the expression to pan something as in critically.
Yes,
I always in my mind think of a critic smacking.
Do you really
smacking the thing
really?
With an actual shallow pan? You know, wallop, wallop, wallop.
There's a beautiful photo of Brian and his daughter wearing pans.
Brian's daughter.
We're going to put as many of these as we can on the blog. And I think that anybody who doubts the power and authority of Black Squadron will be sobered and will rethink their attitude when they see this gallery.
It's an amazing gallery. I mean, that could be a good advertisement for the BBC in general, I would think.
It really could, couldn't it?
I could see it on a massive hoarding. Look at that lady. She's quite saucy and she's got a pan on her.
What about some kind of Chris Moyle-style, very expensive, slow-motion promo film?
Yeah, I like
it. Of Black Squadron members with pan hats. Stallions.
Why aren't the BBC channeling some of the money our way? That's what I want to know. For these expensive campaigns.
Yeah.
Should we have a little bit of music before the news? Here's the Tom Tom Club asking the crucial question, what are you going to do when you get out of jail? Are you going to have some fun? What do you consider fun? Fun. Nasty fun. Right? That's what they say in this song. Can you hear that in the background, listeners?
That noise, listeners, a drilling noise, can you hear that? That's the sound of our Sony silver certificates being screwed to the wall of the BBC Six Music.
It sounds like a joke, doesn't it? But it's actually true. There's a couple of guys out there with a drill in the corridor outside the studio, screwing our awards to the wall. Yes!
Yes!
We've made it! 2 months hence, they're going to be unscrewing the awards and putting them in the bin probably when we get fired. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music.
It's time to stand down, Black Squadron. You can remove those pans from your heads. If you already took your pan off your head, then you will face disciplinary action. That was too much for me at 9:30 a.m.
Here's the jingle.
Stand down, your work is done. You've earned yourself a nice warm bath and maybe a nice little bun.
Smooth.
That was Paul Weller with Broken Stones from the album Stanley Road, which came out in 1995. Good times, good times. Those were the days. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Now, I was complaining last week that I had a cold. Listeners, I haven't completely gotten rid of it, but I've got... I mean, that cold is just the tip of the iceberg now for my health worries. I'm absolutely falling to part.
I had a tough week medically as well.
Did you? What happened to you?
I was bleeding from two large holes in the right side of my body on Tuesday.
Did you get shot?
I didn't. I went to the doctor and he removed a skin tag that was on my side and catching on my T-shirt.
A skin tag?
Yeah, you know, a tiny little bit of weird skin that sort of pops up. Do you not have those? I've got one right there, I think.
Oh, yeah.
They're like sort of moles, but you know, you know what a skin tag is. Do you not have any?
No, I haven't got skin tags. I've got lots of other things.
Have you?
Yeah.
Anyway, he injected it with some anaesthetic and adrenaline.
And adrenaline?
Yeah.
Why adrenaline?
He told me everything he was doing. Oh. I didn't like it. He said, I'm just going to put a little bit of... this might hurt quite a lot. Just going to inject into the middle of it with some adrenaline.
That's because he knows you like
just
Crank.
Just to stop it bleeding too much. It is, isn't it? He knows I watch Crank too. And then he said, and then I'm just going to cut it off with a sharp spoon.
A spoon?
He said, it's just like a spoon, but it's very sharp on one end. Oh. So you'll feel some tugging. And then I'm going to cauterize it.
Ooh. Imagine if he got his spoons confused at breakfast time. He went
just
in with
used a big
spoon.
Blunt one.
Ouch. Wow. So you had some skin tag action.
Yeah. And so I wasn't allowed to wash for 3 days.
Were you not?
Oh, stinky.
That's normal though, isn't it, for you?
And then I got home, decided to lie on the sofa to convalesce, and I was in bare feet. I stood on a piece of glass.
Ouch!
And I stood on it just as I was rotating on my heel in order to flop onto the sofa. And it was kind of curved and thorn-shaped, so it's sort of like a drill bit. It sort of went up into my... it wasn't my heel, it's the other bit. By the toes, what's that called?
Jimmy.
Toe pads. Jimmy the toe pad.
Yeah.
It went up into Jimmy the toe pad.
Why was it on the floor? Like, why have you got glass on the floor?
At 3 PM, I was fine. By 4:30, I was on the sofa leaking blood from two massive wounds in the right hand side of my body.
Goodness gracious.
It was wicked.
You know, this time last week, last Friday before the show, right? Mm. I had a gig in Greenwich. I was cycling there and I was going past a parked car and the guy in the car opened the car door as I was going past without looking, right? Smashed me right in the left arm. It was agony. And so I was late for the gig.
Did
so
he
I
not knock
stop.
You off your bike?
No. It was such that it just, I took the full force of the corner of the door right on my elbow, my left elbow.
And you were in motion?
I was in motion and I stopped and looked behind because I was pretty angry, obviously. It was totally this guy's fault for not looking. But he was more worried about his car, whether I'd scraped his effing car. You know what I mean? It was terrible. And my arm really, really hurt.
That's how the film Bullet Boy starts.
Is it?
Almost, yeah.
It was absolute agony, but I couldn't stop and have a discussion with him about it.
If you'd scratched his car, he would have demanded money. If you didn't have the money to pay him, he would have shot your dog.
Right.
And then you would have probably shot him.
Would have been a spiral of violence.
And it would have been like Bullet Boy.
Terrible.
Terrible.
So, but luckily I got over that. However, this week I wake up one morning and my right arm is painful on the elbow.
What?
And in the night, check this out, I woke up and it felt as if I'd been drugged. I was in a stupor and I hadn't been drugged.
No, you hadn't been drugged.
I don't think so.
No, you hadn't.
Why are you saying it like that?
Like what?
Well, it was weird, though. I just felt really weird when I woke up in the night. And then the next morning, my elbow hurt. And then it started to swell. And I think I was bitten by something, like a spider or something. Why are you looking at me like that? I'm not making this up.
No, I know you're not making it up.
And it's, like, throughout the week, it's absolutely become agonocious. Agonious.
Agnostic.
Agnostic. And it's terrible. I went to the doctor. I've got, like, antibiotics and stuff.
What's the prognosis?
Well, she didn't really give me much of a prognosis.
What's caused it? Why is it?
I don't know. I mean, there's two little points on there, which I think are bites. Someone else said maybe it's a boil coming up, but it's just absolute agony. And it's sort of spreading. I can hardly use... I can't
cycle.
Maybe
it's the beginning of the end.
That's what I'm worried about.
Maybe it's the final curtain.
I don't think I'm going
to
be...
starting to drop across
here
the stage.
Next week, listeners. It's terrible.
Terrible.
Should we have some music?
Yeah.
This is Ian Brown with Stellify.
That's sad.
I like to listen to Adam and Joe. but I listen to the podcast, not the live show.
I used to feel acute frustration,
because I couldn't join in with Text the Nation.
But now my troubles have disappeared,
because Retro Text the Nation's here.
And now my letter might be read out,
instead of thrown in the trash and forgotten about.
Yes, it's Retro Text the Nation time, listeners. This is a kind of a new segment of the show where we read out some contributions to last week's Text the Nation subject. It's a way to be inclusive with Listen Again listeners and podcast listeners.
It used to be a podcast-only feature, Retro Text the Nation.
But that broke the castle rules for a maximum amount of new material in a podcast, right? If you put too much new stuff in a BBC podcast...
contravenes rules.
It contravenes rules because it makes it almost commercial. Do you know what I mean? It's not... I don't quite understand.
I still don't understand exactly what the problem is. Yeah.
Violates the remit.
It violates the remit, and we were actually jailed for some time.
And it was horrible in there.
It was terrible. We were badly beaten. And our producer, James, he was put on a rack.
Yeah.
Stretched.
And do you know who was running the place? Vernon Kay.
Vernon
Kay. And that really surprised me.
It was galling.
The thing that freaked me out most was it was filthy and it was covered in blood and feces. I mean, it was horrible. It was a real proper dungeon. But yet Kay's suit was perfect white. All through our incarceration.
And then just when you thought things couldn't get any worse, Philip Schofield put us in the cube for a while.
Oh, don't remind me.
And he laughed. He kept on laughing. He had this demonic laugh. Laughing.
And the thing was that Kay was, I mean, he was really flagellating.
Yeah.
Very, very brutally. With chains.
And beans as well, flagellate beans.
And there was, you know, splatter going everywhere. But yet, I mean, I think he must have had that suit pressed and changed at the taxpayer's expense sort of instantly.
He smelt delicious.
He did smell.
Did you notice
and he's
that?
Terribly handsome.
And he's a very slick...
very sadistic.
He's absolutely sadistic. So, you know, this is why we couldn't include Retro Text the Nation in the podcast anymore. We had to shift it into the actual live show. And last week, our Text the Nation subject was names that you've given your body parts. And it sort of was focusing mainly on the jungly nether regions.
The Congolese.
Areas, and we have a couple more of those to read out for you this week. Do you want to fire off one?
Sure. Here's one from Sean, somewhere in Kent. He says, I can't give you my full name for fear of ridicule, but as a young chap I used to often pop into the bathroom for a whittle whilst my mum was in the bath, and I was fascinated by her breast, which I called Womble's Nose. Below is a picture of a Womble's Nose. Unfortunately, not my mum's. Can you picture a Womble's nose?
Yeah, I can.
You can make that connection.
Certainly, yeah.
Yeah. Two friendly Wombles posing for a photo with
Uncle
their heads
Bulgaria.
Pressed together.
Yeah. Mm. Good times.
Good times.
Here's one from Matt. He says, when me and my sister were little, my father taught us to refer to lady bits as Wilhelmina. As in, boys have a willy and girls have a Wilhelmina. You can imagine the bother it caused in later life. I mean, Wilhelmina's not a very common name, though, for, like, actual people. So I don't think that would be a massive problem. Like, Willy's a more common name amongst people than
Wilhelmina. I think that's very nice.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Thanks.
Touching.
That was from Matt.
This is one from David the Mega Dude.
Is he a Mega Dude?
Well, he's not a Mega Dude. He's the Mega Dude.
He's the Mega Dude.
And he has a capital M and a capital D.
I'd love to be a Mega Dude.
Mega Dude. How does he know he's a Mega Dude?
You've got to train for about 10 or 15
really?
Years.
Really?
Yeah.
He's certificated.
He's passed a lot of exams.
Does he have that after his name, like a sort of BSc Ons
yeah,
kind of
MD.
Thing?
Yeah, MD. Quincy. Quincy was a Mega Dude.
He says simply, men's nipples, mipples, women's nipples, whipples. He is a Mega Dude.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
He's fully qualified. This is from Howard, staying in the Congo area. Adam and Joe, oh, it's a very touching message, this one, though. It starts out touching, at least. Adam and Joe, I need your help. I've just split up with my girlfriend, and I'm very, very sad. I've been a massive fan of you both.
I thought you said you weren't going to read this one.
Well, I've changed some of his fruity language.
Okay.
I've been a massive fan of you both since I would stay up and watch Channel 4's Adam and Joe show. Nothing made me laugh so much. Now I listen to your show. Give me a shout out and make me feel better, please. Consider it done, Howard. And then he continues, and if it helps, I call my man part my love musket. Coincidentally, that's what caused me and my girlfriend to split up. Because I thought with my love musket.
Clearly doesn't help, does it? I saw him.
I suppose not.
It's been a destructive element in his life.
Help me, Adam and Joe, he says. Well, I hope that helped, Howard. I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, that's good.
Have you got one more there?
Love Musket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's one from Carol Walsh
like
in Dublin.
Pirate.
I'm a listener with a very itchy back. Don't judge me, it's hereditary. Anywho, my good friend has a hand that lends itself to scratching, but unfortunately is rubbish with directions. So what I've done is to name the various areas of my back, making commands easier for him to follow. The areas of my back are named as follows. Top right, Liz McDonald. Bottom right, Steve McDonald. Bottom left, Becky. Top left, Jim McDonald.
What?
It's a good system and it works. By Carol Walsh from Dublin.
I like the fact that he's got a good hand for scratching. Well,
yeah.
Like he's got fingers.
Well, nails. You've got to have good nails to be
true.
A good scratcher.
Not too long.
Not too long, not too short. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Right, consistent.
And you want them nicely trimmed as well. You don't want any jaggy stuff on them.
I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? You know, my lady partner and I, our life is basically a trade war of head scratching.
Uh-huh.
Every time I sit near her, all I have to do is waggle my head like that. And that's the command for her to scratch it.
Like
does anyone
dog.
Else do that? And then she does the same and I have to do it. And then I start sort of owing her. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I have to scratch that. So there's quite a lot of disgruntled head scratching that goes on.
Grudging, yes.
Yeah, you know, as a sort of penance kind of thing.
That's right. I have to massage my wife occasionally when we're watching television, give her a neck massage.
Do you?
I never get...
What do you mean you have to?
Well, she makes it clear. She goes, please, could you help me? I'm in some
What, just
pain.
Do a little impression? Oh, Addie.
She goes, oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I watch on my cameras.
Right. She goes, Addie, please give me a massage, please. And it goes on for quite a long time.
I tell you what I do as well.
What?
If we're watching the telly and my feet are bare, I put my foot right near her and I waggle it.
Yeah.
To be stroked. Like it's a really irritating little dog or something.
Yeah.
I just shake it right next to her. And then the only way she can stop it is by stroking it.
Like Boggins.
Like Boggins. I hope Boggins. 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 Listeners,
scratch on my head.
I didn't know Boggins was going to turn up in the middle of this.
There's a scratch on my head, under my belly.
Boggins is the Adam and Joe dog, and of course he's famous for saying things that sound a tiny bit like words.
I'm going to lick your nose and face.
They're pretty much incomprehensible. He was on That's Life in the 70s, Boggins. What are you, Boggins?
Because he's lost it now.
That doesn't...
Get us a scratch under my tummy where all the hair's gone.
But of course this week Boggins and I went on an adventure, didn't we, Boggins?
Yeah,
we went to Germany, didn't we, Boggins?
Oh, yeah.
To appear on a live TV show called Petschtick. Yeah, me and Boggins to Petschtick. That's an exciting journey.
Yeah.
And Boggins, of course, wowed the studio audience on Petschtick by making a noise that sounded slightly similar to the words raffle tickets.
Raffle tickets. Was is that?
Oh, you can't do it now.
Was is that a raffle ticket?
Raffle tickets, Boggins.
Raffle tickets.
Raffle tickets.
Raffle tickets.
No, don't lick that, Boggins. So that was brilliant. We made 10,000 euros
yes.
for that appearance, and I bought Boggins a biscuit, and I'm banking the rest.
Have you got any back?
What, Boggins?
Have you got back?
Don't understand.
Have you got any back?
He used to be much more comprehensible.
Have you got like a remix of Beck, Cornelius, anything like that?
No, I don't understand what he's saying. Here's Beck with the Cornelius remix of Mixed Business.
Golly.
Oh, that's very dramatic sounding.
It's very dramatic. It was the Big Pink with Dominoes there. They played for Danny Wallace in the Hub. Danny was sitting in for George Lamb last Wednesday. You can go to bbc.co.uk/6music to listen to that performance again. This is Adam and Joe here on the Mighty Six Music. Very nice to have you along, listeners. How are you doing? And I think we're going to get into the nation's favourite feature. We've got the results of Song Wars as well, just to remind you, coming up in the next half hour, I think. Our song's about bath time. We're going to find out who won that. But now, let's have the Text the Nation jingle.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Listeners, Text the Nation is the part of the show where we give you a kind of a chit-chatty subject, provocative, fascinating little idea.
Oh, yeah.
Bomblet.
Yeah.
And you have a think about it and then text in your suggestions. Yeah. The number is 64046. That's the text number. The email is adamandjoe.6music at bbc.co.uk. And this week's Text the Nation theme is annoying habits that TV presenters do.
Yeah.
Now, I was watching a BBC 4 programme about the history of Scotland. I don't know the presenter's name, but it was a man with sort of long black hair. And he was walking around Scotland ranting facts.
Yeah.
And they were doing some very, very annoying techniques. And I'm not sure whether this is the presenter himself or whether it's the camera style. But he was doing a thing about a church. And he was standing in the church, telling us about the church. But the cameraman was at a low angle, circling him very fast. In the opposite, and he was turning physically in the opposite direction.
That old chestnut.
And at this, it was really quite fast, as if it was the part of a feature film where the lead character is going insane.
Right.
But it wasn't a feature film about that. It was a historical documentary about a church. But it was spinning and dizzying, and it went on for minutes.
Yeah.
And it was unwatchable.
That's just annoying direction, though, rather than presenting.
Well, I think I'm specifically talking about presenter links, and they're difficult things to do. Right. Like, we've done them a lot, and I'm sure we've done them really badly.
Yeah.
But it's very hard to make them interesting.
Yes.
And directors always want to make them interesting. But sometimes that urge results in a very annoying practice, either by the presenter, him or herself, or the camera person.
Well, you know who, a programme that has a lot of that kind of stuff. Who is that? More Awards.
That's
going
More
up.
Awards.
We've won More Awards. Anyway, it's the culture show sometimes have some, you know, they really are always trying to find new ways of making a piece interesting. And they do a fantastic job of it.
It's tricky because a show like that is, well, no, that's not true.
But then every now and again, you know, they'll pull out something out of their bag and it's quite annoying. Like, one of the things they sometimes do, not just on the culture show, but lots of programs, is they do, they lock off a shot, right?
Yeah.
And then they have the person popping up in several different parts, like multiple.
Yes.
Versions of
yes.
the same person.
Because basically those things are audio. You don't really need to see it, do you?
No.
So they feel they have to justify their existence on telly by doing something visual.
Uh-huh.
But it's often a bit rubbish. Here's another one in the same, that same documentary about the history of Scotland. He was telling us more facts about Scotland.
Voice. You sound like the guy on
My
Dragon's
Scottish
Den.
Accent is terrible.
What's his name, the guy on Dragon's Den?
I don't know, a Scottish one.
Duncan Bannatyne.
This fellow was walking along at Oud. Oh, that's terrible. What happened there? That was awful.
Fellows.
Anyway, he's walking along a road.
A road.
And they shot it. He's walking along a sort of country lane, telling us more facts about Scotland.
Yeah.
But the camera is behind him, over his left shoulder, very close, like a Darden Brothers film.
Hmm?
Do you know the Darden Brothers?
Yeah, sure. Watched a lot of...
Some listeners will understand.
We're having a Darden marathon at our house.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be depressing. Anyway, he's walking along, the camera's over his shoulder. The road in front of him is completely out of focus.
Right.
And then he turns his head towards the lens. Robert the Bruce was a brusque man, a tough man, you know?
Yes.
And it was very annoying. It was as if we, the viewer, were like scuttling along behind him, desperate for him to give us another fact over his shoulder. And then my favourite sort of place for annoying presentational techniques is a channel called Film 24 that used to be on Freeview.
Oh, yes, I know it.
That's an amazing channel. I don't know whether it's still on anymore because I don't have Freeview anymore. It's changed or whatever.
I think it still is.
But it's sort of EPKs.
Yeah.
It's promotional films for forthcoming movies. And they're linked by presenters who are usually sort of ex-Blue Peter presenters.
Mm-hmm.
And they shoot it on the backlot of Pinewood Studios. And they do the most amazing links. Like, on some of them, they'll come into a link and the camera will be static, pointed at a row of columns in a building.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the camera will start moving and the presenter will appear from behind one of the columns and start walking along. Do you
Going
know what I mean?
Going at the same time.
Going
right,
at the
right.
same time. And then exactly when their spiel ends, they will pass behind a column and the camera will stop. It's like, what were you doing behind the column?
Those kind of things take ages to get right as well.
But they look so stupid. Or then there's links where a presenter will start on a bench.
Yeah.
And then stand and walk across to a fountain.
Yeah.
And then exactly when the end of their spiel stops, they'll put one leg on the fountain and lean. But that is not what was going to happen. Do you know what I mean? And then it'll cut. So that's what we're after. And things you find irritating. It can be specific. You can name names.
Sure.
You can accuse presenters, you can accuse us of having annoying habits. I mean, we have lots of annoying habits, but we usually set them to music and try and profit from them. But what are the most annoying TV presentational quirks that you guys can send us.
We'd love to hear from you. The text number, if you're listening live, is 64046. If you're responding to this Text the Nation subject during the week, if you're listening again or listening on the podcast, then you have to email us your thoughts. Right now, we've got some music for you. This is The Cure with Just Like Heaven.
That was The Cure with Just Like Heaven. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Adam.
Hey.
I need your help, man.
What's the matter?
I've been listening to some contemporary urban music.
Oh, why do you
I
do
know.
That?
Well, you know, the radio was tuned into an urban station while I was in the loo.
It's
on
not,
the loo.
Yeah. Using the loo. Enjoying the loo.
And I heard a couple of songs, and I don't know, they've confused me. The lyrics have confused me. I don't know what to think about them.
Was it Kanye West?
It was, actually, yeah. The first record I heard, I'm going to play you some clips, and I don't know whether anyone can help me with this. The first song I heard was by Jamie Foxx.
Oh, yeah.
Who's a difficult character as it is.
He's not Jamie Foxx Oxox, is he?
Yeah.
The actor turned singer.
Yeah, the hugely successful and haughty and arrogant and overconfident singer, actor. I mean, usually when people are multi-talented or try to, you know, usually you can't have a film career and a movie career.
Right.
He's done it.
I mean, a film career and a music career.
And a music career, yeah. I'm sorry, yeah, you're right. Anyway, so he's a confusing character to begin with, but he's released a new single featuring Drake the Dream.
Is he really a credible music artist, though, Jamie Foxx?
Yeah.
Right.
And Kanye West, it's called Digital Girl, his single. Have you heard that song at all?
No, I haven't. I boycotted Kanye West because of his rudeness.
Oh, quite right. Yeah. Well, this song is sort of drawing, it's kind of using digital lingo as a love song, you know, sexy digital metaphors.
Yeah, like my song Sexy Robots.
Very like that. And it does quite a good job. Let me play you. When I heard the beginning, I thought, oh, this is quite a good track. They're doing a good job of, you know, sewing digital metaphors into their sexy rapping.
Mm-hmm.
Like this bit's quite good. Play the first clip there.
And I remember Amy, she used to aim me. She stayed up late, he used to blame me. She say I'm too wild, she wanna tame me. I told her even Photoshop couldn't change me.
Even Photoshop couldn't change
me. That's pretty good, isn't it?
That is good. Sparks have got a whole song called Photoshop.
Do they?
Yeah.
Do they do a similar little lyric thing?
Photoshop me out of your life.
When was that?
Photoshop me out of your life. It came out last year, I think.
There you go. Oh, it was going quite well, this song. But then, and that's either Kanye or Drake the Dream rapping. I'm not entirely sure. But then Jamie Foxx starts singing. And, you know, the beginning of the song is so sort of tightly written, and they're being so careful that every rhyme is fusing with this idea of technology, you know. And then Jamie Foxx comes in and sings the following.
What?
Did you hear what he said?
He hates the distance, even though it's persistent.
One day I'll have your ass up in this kitchen.
He's romantic.
Is that, I mean, it's not, it doesn't fit with the digital metaphor, does it? That just the kitchen.
He wants his girlfriend to moon in the kitchen.
Is that what he wants?
I think so. That's his ultimate fantasy.
Do you think?
Yeah.
It's a bit disappointing, isn't it?
That's what rappers are like, man.
Then immediately after that record, I heard this record by Sean Kingston. Do you know who Sean Kingston
is?
No,
I don't know.
He's a big kind of, you know, reggae dancehall star. He's a big star.
Yeah.
And this is his new hit that's really lighting up the clubs all over Britain. But this is the chorus.
Somebody call 911. Shawty fire burning on the dance floor. Whoa.
What's a shawty fire?
Shorty fire burning on the dance floor.
I mean...
Well, there's a child on fire.
Are they dancing naked? Have they taken their shorties off?
Shorty fire.
Is there a pile of shorties?
Well, in hip-hop parlance, a shorty is a youngster, right?
Oh, I think it's a girlfriend, actually.
Is it?
It's an attractive woman, yeah.
My shorty. Shorty fire burning on the dance...
Somebody call 911, there's a shorty fire burning on the dance floor.
Or someone, yeah, you just think it's someone's pants have caught light.
Or maybe there's static electricity on the dance floor or a short circuit.
Yeah.
And all the shorties have caught fire.
They're drilling more awards.
There's a shorty fire downstairs.
My lordy. That's good, though. That sounded quite good. Is that what young people are listening to?
Yeah.
This is exciting, man. We're getting all the latest music news on the show.
We are.
Thanks very much for widening our musical remit.
A shorty fire.
That sounds worrying. What do you do about a shorty fire?
There are regulations about you've got to have fireproof shorties.
I mean, that's a health and safety issue if you've got shorty
fire. Isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, that's R&B news.
Here's a free play for you right now, listeners. This is a garage rock combo from Cincinnati, Ohio. And this is their debut single from 1998. They're called The Greenhorns. And this is End of the Night. Good stuff, man. That's Travis with Selfish Gene. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Nice to have you along this Saturday morning. And I think it's time that we resolved last week's Song Wars battle. We both composed songs about the bath time. Joe did one about David Bowie taking a bath. Mine was a kind of two-step number about...
A special bath for a dirty lady.
Dirty lady who needed a bath.
No one's going to forget that in a hurry. If you want to hear either of those songs, they're still available in kind of cruddy quality on the Adam and Joe Six Music website.
Uh-huh.
Or, of course, they're available in full, amazing quality in the podcast, which is still up until the end of the weekend, isn't it?
That's true, isn't it?
So it's time to announce the winner. Here's a couple of emails that we had in. This one's from Ollie Perry. He says, I'm afraid my vote has to go to Joe's bath time for Bowie. Sorry, Adam. I just found that BFB, I mean, that's what they're calling it now.
What's BFB?
Bath time for Bowie. I mean, so many people are saying it. It's taking up time, so it's best to abbreviate it.
BFB, yeah.
Yeah, that's what the Twitterati are doing, sure, Adam. Sure. The song's such a big hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know it's at number one?
Oh, if you win now, after all.
I'm not going to win. I just found that BFB to be more the sort of thing I would actually bathe to.
What?
It also made me chuckle lots. But don't worry, we have a balancing email
splish,
here.
Splosh.
Exactly. Who wouldn't want to bath to that? This is one from Kate.
Yeah.
My vote this week goes to Special Bath for a Dirty Girl by Dr. Buckles. I particularly enjoyed the rhythmic pairing of Badded Ass and Big Bad Ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an amazing bit of lyrical.
She says, please understand that I'm not downplaying the merits of Bowie in the bath, but, and as a member of Black Squadron, I'm slightly ashamed to admit, I've never been a Bowie fanatic, and some of the references within the song may have been lost to me.
Oh, right.
That email's more about my song, really, in the final analysis.
So if she had understood the references, she'd be voting for your song. That was the implication there. Thanks for all your messages about Song Wars, incidentally.
Ooh.
Here are the results.
That's me in pain. My song got 23%, but Adam's Special Bath wins with 67%.
You know, I'm surprised.
I'm not surprised.
I am surprised, because your Bowie in the bath was very strong.
Well, music is the winner.
Yeah.
You know, but I did finish mine off early to watch Crank 2.
That's true, you did, didn't you?
So I think I deserve... Plus, I probably took about 4 hours over it.
Did you?
5 hours, maybe, yeah.
No, I absolutely killed myself doing this one.
Well, yours is good, man. And here's an opportunity to hear it again. This is the winning song. This is called Special Bath. It's by Count Buckules.
Thank you.
And it won with 67% of the vote.
Yes!
Oh, girl, you're so dirty. I love your mucky mind, but your body's also filthy, which I weren't so pleased to find. You're so fit, but what's up with your personal hygiene? That's why you haven't had a boyfriend since you were 13. You have the matted hair of an Australian backpacker, and in your pants last night I found some cheese and a cracker. You say you don't like bathing cause you're frightened of the water, but it's getting crazy, girl. You know I really think you ought to come round to my place tonight. We'll have a special bath. Stop smelling like a vagrant and take the fragrant path. I've got some candles, some petals, some Radox and some matey and some badass. So lower your badass into the bubbles. It's slightly too hot like you, but you'll get used to it the way I had to do. With the smell from your shoes, just take it slow. When the pain from the scalding subsides, it's nice. Sit at the end where the taps are, baby, that's my advice. It's more convenient, you know, I'll take the boring end, cause I'm your special bath friend. Come round to my place tonight, we'll have a special bath. It's not so bad, is it? It's nice. It's just a couple of rules you need to know before we go on. You might presume that heavy petting in the bath is fun, but it's uncomfortable and makes it hard to get the cleaning done. And
you think that with the bubble bath you're safe to let one go, but trust me, that's not how it works. And when the bubbles burst, I'll know. And finally, you may believe that a tinkle in the bath is tops, but if I detect extra warmth, I'll call the cops.
Seriously. Come round to my place tonight, we'll have a special bath. Stop smelling like a vagrant and take the fragrant bath. I wanna rock with you, lady woman, if you know what I mean. But there's gonna be no rocking unless you're really keen. And right now I'm afraid you smell.
Sly and the Family Stone. It was very hard to tell where my song Special Bath ended and where that one began. They were so similar.
For whom?
In quality and style.
For whom was that hard to tell?
For all the listeners, the music fans. Mm. You know, there was certainly cut from similar cloth, hewn from
the same musical rock. Stop talking now. So stay tuned, listeners. We've got a very special announcement of a way that you can get very profoundly involved in the show.
In the Song Wars, especially. That's coming up in the next half hour here on the programme. But right now, it's just gone 10:30 and it's time for the news. Gorillaz with Feel Good Incorporated. Hey, this is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. My Guy Garvey's giving me a lot of jit, man.
Is it?
Yeah.
I bet you were just wincing there during that record.
I'm like Wincy Willis.
I feel sorry for you. What can you do? Is there a bubo on it?
A bubo? No, it's not a
burstable.
There's
nothing to pop.
No, it's not like a spider bite that you sometimes see on the internet
where it's full of spiders,
right.
Tiny spiders.
It's all spiders. No, you can't drain it or anything like that. You know, it's not pustulant.
What kind of pain is it?
I swear to you, it's like someone has just got a crowbar and smashed my arm.
Really?
It's so painful. And every time it touches anything, it's absolute agony.
Really?
I came in on the tube because I can't cycle, right? I can't grip the handlebars. Mm. And I was just really worried about people knocking it on the tube and stuff.
you're taking some painkillers, though.
I'm hopped up on painkillers and antibiotics and all
that. You could always chop it off, mate.
You could.
Just get rid of it. I'd cauterize it with a hot pan or pot.
Or a sharp
depending
spoon.
On what you wanted.
I could cut it off
with a sharp spoon. Inject some adrenaline into it to stop the blood flowing.
Into my heart.
I could do that. I could make a little,
Dr. Sexy,
do you think
you could do that?
I wouldn't get Dr. Sexy to operate
on it. Would you not?
No, that'll be a mess. I mean, it'll be very pleasurable, but it won't improve the injury. It'll take your mind off.
Sexy mess.
Yeah. It will take your mind off. Eventually the pain will come back.
Oh my gosh. Oh. Hey, let's have the Text the Nation jingle and get back into that, why not?
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Text the Nation this week, listeners, all about annoying things that TV presenters do or annoying ways that programmes present their links kind of thing.
What kind of response are we getting from the listeners?
A very, very good response. You know, people are very opinionated about television.
They really are, aren't they? I mean, I've talked before about my dad, how incensed he gets when he watches the news. If he doesn't like the style of the news presenter, Fiona Bruce is his bête noire. But I remember when growing up, he would have a problem with Jan Leeming, and he would just spit and grumble and not actually gob, you know what I mean, but like spit fury and
just going back to your dad being annoyed by Fiona Bruce. Mm. We might do some filming for the Bruce,
oh, yes,
mightn't
that's right.
we? So we might get to meet the Bruce.
It'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Maybe we should bring your dad and they can have a confrontation.
No, we should definitely.
Because he's a very polite man. He wouldn't be rude to her, would he?
And
it would be interesting. It'd be interesting what would happen to his opinions if he was presented with the actual person.
Well, I think it's, you know, I think he wouldn't have a problem. He'd be charmed and seduced by her loveliness.
But he'd go away with the same problems.
But it's her style when she's actually on TV that he's got a problem with. And that's the thing with a lot of
people. We should get into some of the listeners' opinions. Sorry to ramble over you there. But here's a good one from Tom. In Derby, he says, at the end of every episode of Grand Designs, Kevin MacLeod does a little summary spiel outside the finished building. This ends with him walking off the shot as the theme tune cuts in. My girlfriend and I compete to guess which direction he's going to go in.
Like Bod.
She always wins. It's true that. And sometimes he does a thing at the end of every, just before every break, Kevin MacLeod, where he does a little synopsis. Yeah. Just like Tom said, he goes, the house is enormously ambitious, but are they going to get it finished before the winter rains? And then he walks off. But sometimes he does it about 4 feet away from them. And he's saying it as if it's a little candid moment between him and the viewer. But often the owners are just there sort of, and they're listening. Did you hear what he said, Sophie?
He doesn't think we're going to finish before the winter ends.
He says the staircase is awful and ugly and vulgar. Clearly heard that. But that's a good one. Here's another one. From Tim in London, and we've had a number of texts about this one. Hi, Adam and Joe. I'm a massive fan of MasterChef, except one bit really annoys me. When the bald one, brackets Greg, tastes the food, he holds his fork in a crazy cradled way, the type of way you might feed a baby, as if pretending it was a plane. Then he also keeps it in his mouth far too long.
Right.
Says Tim in London. And there's another one here.
That's to show that he's a professional. He's savouring it, right?
This is from Robin in London. Nothing is more disgusting than the way the bald MasterChef presenter takes food off the fork slower than slow. The camera always shows it too.
He's savouring.
Robin in London.
The bald MasterChef presenter.
Stephen in Glasgow says, I've always noticed that the newsreader, George Alagaya, has a tendency to emphasise words by bobbing his head like the Churchill dog. As a result, I can no longer watch the news or the Churchill ads because I get too confused.
Oh, yes.
George Alagaya, he's great, though. What would you... I've never noticed that. I'm going to have to study him.
Yeah, he's not great anymore now that we've been switched onto that problem.
I feel attracted to George Alagaya.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a different text than Nation.
I think he's very handsome.
Here's one from Jules in Hackney. I hate presenters who seem to be surprised to have met their interviewee as if by coincidence. So here I am at the hedgerow with Peter. Hello, Peter. That is quite annoying, isn't it? Someone else has texted in about the way they knock on doors and then pretend that opening the door hasn't expected them.
It's weird they still do that, isn't it? That's just the language of telly, though.
And whoever opens the door always has their hair done and their best their best nightie on, kind of thing. Here's one from an anonymous texter. I hate how Tony Robinson in Time Team neither runs nor walks when somebody calls him to a find. He's always semi-trotting. The stuff's been in the ground for years. It'll still be there if you walk.
that's the show, though, isn't it? Because they do make it seem like an emergency.
They do, yes. Something 3,000 years old.
Tony Robinson divides people because, I mean, he's well-loved. He's a national treasure in many ways. Mm. But parents often grumble about him. Like my in-laws, really, man, they
hate him, do they? Well, that's what telly's for, isn't it?
I think he's scruffy and weird.
Here's one from Adrian in Derry. I hate it when Adrian Childs touches Christine Blakely unnecessarily. Adrian Childs is getting a lot of stick at the moment, isn't he? He's everyone's favourite whipping man.
I really like Adrian.
He's good. Just because he's on every day, that's tough for any human being to...
I would encourage unnecessary touching as well.
Yeah,
I think it's fun.
More unnecessary.
The more unnecessary, the better.
Here's one final one. Which one shall I do? Oh, yeah, here's a particularly irate one from an anonymous texter. That annoying Hollins man who does the sport on Breakfast News has this thing where he sits on the sofa with one leg across his knee, holding onto his foot. Does he think he's at home?
He's so casual.
It's weird the values people expect from telly, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's difficult to please that many people.
Especially
with so many
nowadays.
Differing.
I mean, you know, in radio terms, there are people that tune into this show and think, what the heck
well,
is going on
Well, you'd quickly tune
here?
Out, wouldn't you?
I suppose
Because
so.
There's more choice in radio. In telly, maybe you're a bit more limited.
Like you were saying there was some guy rambling on a message board, getting very irate about the fact that we were sort of canvassing for ideas for Text the Nation on our blog and saying, what the heck is the BBC come to where they just lazily ask viewers to come up with all their ideas for the show?
Well, the BBC's got an extra burden to carry, hasn't it? Because it's got all sorts of weird, expectations linked with people having to pay for it.
Yes.
Here's a proper final one. This is from Joe in Oxford. Hi, guys. The guy that presents Coast, who was the same bloke who presents the Scotland show Joe was talking about, I think. Yeah, he is. He really annoys me because he always wears a stupid little bag wherever he is. A tatchel satchel. What's in the bag? No one will ever know.
Stupid little bag.
Stupid bag. I agree. If someone has a bag on telly, show us what's in it.
You want to see what's in it?
Maybe that's what keeps people watching.
He's got water and tissues and an orange in there.
Has he?
Yeah. That's what he carries in his sack. Here's the Flaming Lips. This is the new one from them. Silver Trembling Hands. Have you heard this one, Joe?
I haven't, no. Can I quickly just say 64046 is the text number, and adamandjoe.6music@pbc.co.uk for your TV presentational annoyances.
Here's Send the them. Lippos, Flipping Ada.
That's a new direction for them.
That's the Flaming Lips with Silver Trembling Hands. It's going to be a chart topper, isn't it? That's going to zoom in there at number one, Top of the Pops.
Do you think, or are you being Sarky Man?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell how that kind of stuff goes down these days, isn't it?
Hmm.
I mean, I don't even know what number one is at the moment.
They're no JLS.
What is the number one?
They're no JLS.
Who is JLS?
Who is JLS?
Yeah, what's going on?
They're the X Factor's top current successful hit band.
Are they now?
Yeah, they dance like a couple of clockwork
oranges.
Yeah.
Do you know what the nation's number one is?
I think it might be JLS. Is it JLS? I'm not sure it's JLS anymore. I don't. The answer's no. I don't think anyone does anymore,
No one knows
apart from Simon Cowell.
They make it up. There's so many different ways of assessing what might be the number one.
Yeah.
Now, in the news, at 10:30, they had a little vox pop there with a person who'd been to a Coldplay gig. Let's just hear that vox pop there.
It was absolutely amazing. This is like the fourth time I've seen them, and they just keep on getting better and better and better.
That's Gwyneth Paltrow, isn't it? They just found her wandering around at the gig. That's what she... And they just keep getting better and better. And I've only seen them four times. They were really good, though. That's how she speaks. Because she's moved to England and she's got the English voice now. That's how she talks, like Madonna. And Simon Pegg got up there and blew a little harmonica.
He's done that before.
Has he?
He makes a habit of that, yeah.
You say you're a little chippy about it, aren't you?
Trapping on stage.
You're jealous, man.
Jealous of playing harmonica on a Coldplay track.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I am.
I mean, getting up on stage with one of the biggest bands in the world.
Yeah.
Playing a bit of harmonica.
Fun for the person doing it. I always wonder how much fun it is for the audience.
Yeah, it's Simon Pegg. He's one of the most well-loved...
Of course.
...movie stars
in
the world.
Don't make it personal. I know, Simon, you'll get me in trouble. Yeah. Don't you realise the context of these comments?
Show just
socially.
With his arms folded going, Simon Pegg. I mean, he's not a very good blues harmonica player, though, is he? Why is he up there?
Do you think he can play that? Do you think he can play the harmonica?
Yeah.
You think?
He can do anything.
He can do anything. You're quite right.
Anyone can play
the harmonica.
You're
dropping me in it. Why are you dropping me in it like this?
What would you play if you went
there? There's a candid comment between us off air, and now you've dragged it on air.
Sorry.
Listen, let's clear the... I think he's brilliant. I wish he was one of Coldplay.
I just say that I wish he
played the drums
and sang. I know it's not about Simon himself. I just think you're just jealous because you want to get invited on stage with a rock band to play an instrument.
Do you think?
Yes, everyone does.
Do you think?
I would love it if I got to do it. I once played...
You did. You bounded onto stage with Travis. And wasn't it mildly excruciating?
It was not for the audience,
but for you.
No, I'm sure it was excruciating for both the audience and me as well. It was absolutely mortifying, yeah.
Yeah.
I was rubbish. I was playing the tambourine.
Yeah.
And I suddenly realised I couldn't really play the tambourine.
The thing is, we're not very famous either.
No.
So
it was
certainly
in Germany
much
as well.
Less famous than Travis. So here's this random man coming on stage to a fanfare and playing the tambourine
in
really
Berlin
poorly.
It was.
Looking really uncomfortable. You're right. No, Simon would be exciting for everybody. Listen, here's a free play. This is... another track from the Pictish Trail album, Secret Sounds. This is called All I Own. Isaac Hayes with the theme from Shaft. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. We hope you're having a fantastic Saturday morning. It's just gone 11 o'clock. There's clouds and sky and air. That's like a little weather bulletin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's accurate.
It's
factual.
It's good. I was seeing where you went with it.
Nowhere.
The new slick Joe Cornballs.
Still.
Hey, speaking of being slick, listeners, a few eagle-eared listeners, notice that earlier on in the Song Wars vote, the percentages that we read out added up to 90.
27 and 63, did we say?
Yeah, we don't go for the full
100%. 10% missing. No, we're like the X Factor judges.
10% of the audience just were angry. They voted for something else.
But somebody was pointing out in a text that on the X Factor, they always very annoyingly say it's 1,000%. You know, I'm going to give you 1,000%. And percentages, I think, now mean something else.
Right.
Do you know they're not used in the way they used to be?
It's not literally.
It's nothing to do with the number 100.
No, it's not literally a division of a unit.
It's just an adjective meaning, you know, lots and lots.
Quite wicked or really.
Yeah.
That's
so that's the mistake you made when you thought
that's
that 67 and 23
sure.
was less than 100. So you're wrong and we're right.
They teach that in school.
They do.
Now, today we're doing percentages. Now, who can tell me what 1,000% is?
Is it really wicked? A, Leona Lewis, B, Ray Quinn, or C, Ewan Craig?
Ewan Craig. Now, we've got an exciting announcement for you listeners, and this really is exciting because this is a chance for us all to get together and, you know, work on something together and have some fun as part of the Electric Proms. Do you fancy joining us on stage, right, at the Electric Proms next month?
Oh, my God.
Tell the listeners what we're talking about, Joe.
We are talking about an amazing live event that's going to happen at the Electric Proms. It happens during the day, so you've got to be free on this day.
What's the venue, James?
The Roundhouse. We are looking for two people. You can be a couple or a family or a pair of friends, any combination of two people, to join us on stage and sing a Song Wars classic.
It's kind of a karaoke thing. You, if you go to the blog, will be able to find two instrumental versions of our previous Song Wars efforts. We've got Joe's Quantum of Solace song there, the instrumental version, and the instrumental version of my Nutty Room song.
Yeah, and we want you to make a video of yourself performing one of the songs. So we're not, like, talking about Video Wars last year, which was, a request for a very creative kind of proper pop video. This is just kind of, even though you could do that if you wanted.
This is more an audition tape.
An audition tape. Yeah, we want you to sing the Song Wars song, make a video of it, place it on a video sharing site, and then send us a link to that site.
It doesn't have to be fancy. As Joe said, you don't have to, like, spend hours making the video. It's purely for the performance of the song. Spend all your time honing your singing skills, right?
And that's probably important that they don't actually send the video file itself. Is that correct? You send a link to an upload site, and then we here at the castle will download it from that site. That's probably quite important for, you know, the technological aspects
Absolutely.
Of the thing.
And, you know, we will go putting links on the blog to some of our favourites.
All these instructions will be in the blog.
Yeah.
So if you don't understand what we're saying, just visit the blog, bbc.co.uk/blogs/Adam and Joe.
And we're going to judge the entries, and the winner for each song will perform with us on stage at the Electric Proms in London on the 22nd of October.
It'll be
during the day, not in the evening.
If you want to pick, because sometimes with things like this, I like to get a mental picture of the event.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be on the main stage at the Roundhouse. It's going to be in one of the toilets.
In the cubicles.
Maybe actually in the urinal. So if you're picturing like a massive venue, you know, like Simon in the Coldplay gig.
Right.
Erase that from your mind. Imagine a much smaller room.
What sort of audience are we talking about, James?
About 200 people. Will they be listeners? Well, we're going to get into that in another show. If you don't want to make the video but you want to attend, there'll be a way to do that. But we'll get to that in a few weeks' time.
And, yeah, it's going to be like a big party, really. And
we're going to be playing the backing tracks to those two songs that you can access on our blog. And then we'll invite the two winners up on stage to perform their renditions of those songs.
Will we actually sing with them?
We might do. I don't know. It's all open to discussion, isn't it? Anything could happen. But what we're doing is keeping the default level of this competition very simple.
Yeah.
So at its base level, it's just you with a mic doing a karaoke version of a Song Wars. But if you want to introduce more elaborate elements,
yeah,
like if you're a band, or if you want to use an instrument, or do a dance, or dress up or something, then that's up to you.
Exactly. You can get creative with it. But at the very least, it's just about doing a kind of karaoke version. The deadline for submitting your video links, that is Wednesday the 14th of October at 4 p.m. After 4 p.m, you will not be counted.
What if it's a tiny, lame child that enters a video at 4?
Tough luck!
And one second past 4.
Tough luck, lame boy!
Little Toddy Pipkins injured his leg. Can't he enter?
No, it's the BBC. It's after 4. Tough luck, Toddy Pipkins. Out, you hobble.
Little Toddy Pipkins hobbling away with nothing to eat and having a terrible day.
Tough luck, Pipkins! Next time, in before 4 p.m. on Wednesday the 14th of October, or no fun for you. We'll reveal the winners on this show on Saturday the 17th of October.
What an exciting event. What an amazing competition.
Yeah, it is.
I'm looking forward to seeing some of those performances.
I know, I can't. You can finally do your Simon Cowell impression.
Yes.
This is the most amazing version of A Quantum of Solace I have ever seen in my life.
No, this is the most amazing version of the Quantum of Solace I've ever seen.
Here's Blur with Beetle Bum.
That's good, isn't it?
That's Blur with Beetle Bum. And, of course, Sean Keaveney's program on Six Music, his breakfast show,
of course,
came from Alex James's very big house in the country.
Of course it did.
Yesterday. Don't just fixate on my little bit of DJing talk there.
Dear Adam and Joe, I hate it when Adam Buxton says, of course, in the beginning of a sentence. Of course what?
Well, you always say, yes, it's Text the Nation time.
Yes, listeners, it's Text the Nation time. I know I do. I like it, though.
We're going to be saying it.
Dear Adam and Joe, I hate it when Adam Buxton complains about Joe Cornish presenting and then messes up himself.
And then
he's such a hypocrite.
He's like a monkey with a rotten elbow. So go to the iPlayer and you can listen to Sean Keaveney's show from Alex James's farm again and as many times as you wish. Now let's have the jingle so that afterwards Joe can say, yes, it's Text the Nation time, listeners.
Text the Nation. Text, 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 text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Yes, listeners, it's time for a Tiffany show. Da pa da da show, what da pa for the tech to the whole to send them in.
Yeah, you really mixed it up, haven't you?
I changed it radically.
Totally radically changed it.
Radically changed it.
Like Lou Reed.
Is that a success?
Reinventing it. Yeah, I think that's good. You should always do it like that from now on.
It's all about Text the Nation this week, listeners. It's all about annoying things on telly, annoying presentational techniques on telly.
Yeah.
Here's one from Marco in Archway. I hate the way Stephen Fry keeps taking photos on his iPhone on that animal show Last Chance. He's got a film crew with him to record it properly. Why doesn't he just Sky Plus the show? That's a fair point. I mean, I haven't seen that, but that sounds annoying.
It's very iPhone heavy. I must say I'm surprised. That's a BBC show.
They had a BBC directive about 5 years ago, which was to do with, I forget what the phraseology was, but they said they were desperate for passionate experts. What was it? There were two words they used, and they kind of buzzed around production companies because they decided that all documentaries had to be presented by recognisable, passionate, friendly figures who had a personal connection with the subject.
Right.
And that's why you end up with all these bits of people doing something personal.
Yes.
You know, they keep him taking photos in because it makes him more real and less authoritative.
Uh-huh.
But maybe it's starting to get annoying.
Well, celebrity-led docs in general are...
The Rupert Everett one I caught a repeat of.
Oh, yeah.
Droning on about Byron and then shots of him just sitting drinking coffee in Venice.
Yeah.
While talking about Byron. They should illustrate it with some maybe pictures of Byron. Would that be a good idea?
Well, no, because you've got the dual layers of interest there.
Yeah, but one isn't interesting.
Well, that's your opinion.
That's my opinion, yeah. Okay, here's another one from LB in Avoc, pronounced Ock, as in lock. Neil Oliver showed us what was in his bag at Galane Beach in the most recent series of Coast. There was sandwiches and an old copy of some magazine with a picture of some football team, might have been Rangers, running up Murder Hill.
That's very specific.
I mean, I only read that one out because we were wondering what was in his bag.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's resolved that, you know.
I thought it was some water, some tissues and an orange. Turned out it was none of those things.
A couple of tampons.
It was a sandwich and some porn.
I hate the way, says Ben from Sheffield, Daphne from Eggheads smugly mouths the answers to the contestants' questions while they're struggling to come up with the answer. She's such a righteous granny. I don't know who Daphne from Eggheads is.
I don't know what Eggheads is.
It's kind of a weird quiz thing. Is it BBC? It's a weird, like, late-afternoon quiz thing. Yeah, we don't know about that, but it was a very passionate text, so I thought I should read it out.
She obviously watches a lot.
You know Eggheads. Here's one from Michelle in West Derby. I hate how Natasha Kaplinsky ends the news with a very high yet dismissive, bye!
Uh-huh.
You see, you're in trouble with the news. You can never get it right, can you?
No.
You either sound too kind of relaxed.
With me, it's the outfits. I mean, I'm going to sound like an old duffer, but sometimes they wear outfits that look as if they've just come out of a science fiction film, you know?
On the news?
In the 70s, yeah.
Really?
Like absolutely mentile, crazy dresses that women wear sometimes. You just think, what are you doing? That's totally distracting. You've got like a silver jumpsuit on with big, weird pipes coming off it.
Pipes?
Yeah.
Charlotte in Newcastle says, Simon Sharma, History of Britain, defies gravity by walking up steep hills, where battles have been, with his hands in his pockets. How does he remain upright?
She's just annoyed because he's sure-footed. That's not fair. Simon Sharma is another target for dads, though, for bile. My dad is always grumbling about Simon Sharma.
Well, in a second, I'll give you the top three annoying people according to our correspondence
Simon
this morning.
Sharma, I'm going to put him in the leaky boat along with Jan Leeming.
Oh, sounds like a nice leaky boat.
That was his phrase.
I'm going to put them in a leaky boat.
Wow, he wants Atlantic. Them to drown slowly.
Yeah.
And realise that they're sinking quite a long time before they die so they can discuss it.
Exactly.
And really suffer.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And leaving in Simon Sharma, screaming with fear in a leaky boat.
Oh, God, who did this to us? Who did this to us?
Is it Nigel Buxton?
Hovering in a helicopter.
My dad just laughing.
With a zoom lens. That serves them right. I told them this would happen. I've been telling them for years. Not as if I didn't warn them.
Tough luck, Simon Sharma!
That would be a better plot for a film or something, wouldn't it? If somebody like took out a really petty... Anyway, here's one from Rory. I find it particularly irritating when presenters are pretending to be doing other work or just going about their normal life and are then rudely interrupted by a BBC cameraman and are quickly forced into doing a link about the construction of Roman vases. This particularly happens in technology and history programmes.
Yeah.
That's the same as the door stop step thing.
Yeah.
Right? People who are pretending to be surprised by the fact that they're doing a link. And here's a very angry one from Peter Newcastle. For all his years of experience, John Craven has never managed to master walking and talking. If his cruel owners at Countryfile force him to perform both simultaneously, he'll have to look at his feet, maybe to avoid cow poo, and move very slowly. Not like Kate Humble. That girl can walk and talk. Peter Newcastle. That's good.
I would think John Craven was beyond reproach. Should we have some more of these later on in the show?
This could go on forever. I mean, yeah, we could just read these out non-stop for another 40 minutes.
Well, we were thinking of bringing back, you know, co-opting the Points of View song, Blah Boobity Baya, which we've played before.
And like making this a regular complaints segment.
We could call it Pointless Views.
The top three worst offenders, according to the quantity of messages we've had, Evan Davis... is annoying a lot of people on Dragon's Den.
I love him.
It's not our opinion. This is our listeners' opinion.
Yeah.
Greg, the baldy judge from MasterChef, seems to get everywhere. Everything he does seems to be infuriating people. And Steve on Land of the Lost Volcano. Not a show I've watched, but many people are texting and emailing to say he has an awful habit of taking his shirt off the whole time.
Yeah.
That's Steve on Land of the Lost Volcano. Those are our three prime telly presenting villains.
We'll have some more of these just before the end of the show. Right now, here's a free play for you. This is from Wilco's last album, which I've been enjoying very much, and this is Sunny Feeling. Oh, I just knocked my Guy Garvey again.
Oh, man. How's it feeling right now?
It's the painkillers are wearing off, and it is absolutely agony.
No.
Someone else sent us a picture of their elbow, and they've got a similar thing. Catherine, I think. It's something bursitis. It's basically...
Is that the name of the spider?
No, it's just an infected elbow pad. You know what I mean? Because that pad at the end of the elbow is quite easy to infect because it's just a big spongy leaning pad.
Right.
So you can get it quite easily. You've got to take care of it. I found out after years of being cavalier with my elbows, never again. And then someone else said I should draw like a biro mark around the red area and check whether it's, you know, at night, and then in the morning check whether it's spread. I think it is spreading quite a lot, but I went to the doctor and the doctor said I was okay, but now I think I might just go to the hospital after this show because I think the arm's gonna be coming off soon. It's really painful. Anyway, this is Adam and Joe here.
You're gonna make me feel now, aren't you?
Six Music.
Are you?
No, come on.
Come. I'll tell you a funny story. Last night, me and some friends went to see Adam's Bug at the BFI South Bank.
That's true, yes.
Yeah, and we were standing there having a drink, and a woman came up to us with a bowl of chips. She said, "Chips!" We went, thank you, and took some and stuffed our mouths. It turned out she was asking whether we'd ordered them.
Oh, I see.
We mistook them for canapes.
You thought,
I mean, that's just a really short little funny story. I mean, it's not very funny.
Yeah.
But it's short. And look, now it's...
That's a fun story.
And now we've only got...
But listen, I can rejoin with the fact that I was there talking to a human, and I went for the handshake, right?
Yes.
But they went for the hug.
So, in
the confusion between the handshake and the hug, my beer, which I was holding, a pint, just got knocked, and it sloshed right over my left arm. So my whole sleeve was absolutely soaked with beer. but I just felt I couldn't mention it, and it would be like,
Did the other human notice?
He didn't notice, no, but the other guy who was standing with us
noticed,
and he couldn't really talk, he couldn't really join in, because all he was thinking like, is Adam going to mention the fact that his arm is now soaked with beer? But I couldn't, because I thought it would derail the social interaction.
A couple of great stories, and they've taken us perfectly up to the news.
It's 11:30, here is the news.
Timeless, absolutely timeless, that Sparks with This Town Ain't Big Enough for the Both of Us. This is the rock show here on BBC Six Music.
Oh, I'm in the wrong studio.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I thought this was Adam and Joe.
This is the rock show here on BBC Six Music. Non-stop rock. Rocking all the time.
Good luck. Have a good show.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Cheers. Sorry about that, listeners. Okay. Coming up, we got some Steve Vai for you. Steve's going to be playing for 15 minutes non-stop. Some stuff on his guitar, and then after that we're going to play it again exactly the same way. After that we're going to play it backwards, and then we're going to play some rock. And after that, a bit more rock. Okay, this is the rock show.
I hate the rock show.
What?
I love the rock show. I'm confused about the rock show.
No, don't worry about it.
Listen, listeners, you know I wrote this song about Margaret Mountford, the lovely lady what was
Margaret
Alan Sugar's assistant
Mountford
on The Apprentice, the popular BBC Two series about, yeah. Well, no one really knows what
it was.
It
was a sort of unironic love song, in a way, wasn't it?
It's hard to tell what was going on with the song, but it was a triumph, and it won. Did it win?
I think so.
Did it win, maybe? Maybe it didn't win.
Like a cloud.
My song was about Stephen Fry and that loss.
Yeah, but we banged on and on and on about how we wanted Margaret Mountford to hear it.
Oh, yeah, no, so I forgot. It was a different one.
It was an Apprentice week, so yours was an Apprentice one. Yours was good. It was like...
He's a stupid moron.
It was very rude.
He's a stupid moron.
That's the one. Anyway, we banged on and on about trying to get Margaret Mountford to hear our songs. And, you know, people listen to this show, surprisingly, some of whom work in the media.
Danny Wallace listens.
Danny Wallace, yeah, there you go. So, but no, but it's kind of bigger than that, because for some reason Margaret Mountford was doing the rounds, as they say. She was appearing on lots of different shows. Was she promoting something or something?
I thought she was retiring.
Well, she is retiring, but maybe she must have had some business.
A charity
thing. Oh, there yes. You go. And I think our producer, James Sterling, a terrific producer, you got how many requests for the use of the song? He got three different producers calling him, one from Radio 2, one from BBC Wales, and one from You and Yours on BBC Radio 4, all asking whether they could play the song to Margaret Mountford, who we'd already established has heard the song because it was played in on the You're Fired studio record.
Yes.
But then not used in the final edit.
Right.
So... poor old Margaret Mountford has been travelling from studio to studio, and in each one they've tried to sort of break the song to her, which is enormously flattering. I don't mean to sound, you know, churlish about that fact. It's wonderful that people would listen and try and play it to her. But I'm not sure she thinks it's that wonderful.
She's probably quite confused by it.
I think so. It's a confusing song. You know, it's not overtly funny in any way. And if you take it seriously, then it's probably pretty creepy. So it's hard to know how to approach it. But this is what happened when Danny Wallace tried to surprise her with the song here on Six Music.
Have you heard this song about you?
I have.
You
yes,
have.
I have.
Well, let us play it, and let's keep Margaret's mic up then for Joe, so that we can get your reaction to the Margaret Mountford song.
Standing at the back, making notes on a pad, in a tailored Mac, deciding who gets sacked. At Sir Alan's side, a trusted employee, a handsome woman with so much dignity.
She's rolling her eyes. She looks happy.
Is like a cloud.
I'm not sure my hair is like a cloud.
<It is. laughs> Your lips so red and your eyes strong and brown.
Well, I think they're allowed some poetic license on
okay,
this.
Fair
it's a song.
Reading the results dispassionately, young people today, not what they used to be. Some well-chosen words, a little bit gruff. She rolls her eyes, she's had enough. She
I think I want to go on that note.
You
I
stay,
have had enough.
You stay exactly where you are, Margaret Mountford. There's 30 seconds left. She's trying to leave the studio.
While the candidates argue on their mobile phones.
And bring it down. I'll tell you why. I was expecting you to kind of go, this is a beautiful song and I enjoy it. Instead, Margaret Manf was pointing at her watch and mouthing the words, I have to go. I thought she was joking. She's collected her papers together and she's halfway out of her chair. And now she's too embarrassed to speak. Just break it down for us.
Thank you.
Oh, Margaret. Well, here's a CD. Pass that to Margaret. You can listen to it in your Bentley.
Thank you very much.
With Sir
Thank
Alan. You may leave, Margaret Mountford.
Thank you very much.
There you go. So she was a bit freaked out by it, I think, and had to run away from it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's hardly surprising, really, is it?
No.
It's like the song of a kind of creepy stalker.
It's probably confusing and unpleasant to be the focus of someone's questionable talent in that way.
What did you say? Confusing. So you're saying my talent's questionable? Yes.
Well, it's like it's hard to know what you're doing with your skills.
Yeah. What I'm doing with my skill? Why? Yeah. Why I'm?
Because she doesn't know who you are. She's not like
she doesn't know the context. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? You've got to know that it was like a competition, and we chose the subject under pressure.
Yeah.
And we had limited time to do it. That's the problem with Song Wars. That's why they sort of, they're like little. Little damaged starling chicks that struggle out of the nest.
You know what if someone that you'd never met just sort of unveiled? Someone sent in this thing and it was from some guy in Germany. Oh, Joe Connors, he is a long guy. He's very, very cool. And
I would like it a lot.
Would you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's I chose the wrong song.
Carry on.
Joe Connors, he says, I'm an R a lot and his nose is pointy. Oh, he's got shoes on this feet. This is not a good example.
It's a very good example. I would love that, and I would have that guy in the studio, and he would become the third member of the team, and the song would be played over and over again. I mean, it would be amazing. I'd invite him round to dinner, none of which Margaret Mountford has done for me.
Yeah.
She just wants to get as far away from me as she possibly can.
Well, that's fair enough. Danny Wallace handled it well as well there.
That song's following her around like a cloud of old fart.
Like an airborne toxic event. Here is Wild Beasts right now. Is this their new single, James? Yeah, this is from their album Two Dancers, which is an absolute peach. This is All the King's Men. Very nice. Wild Beasts with All the King's Men. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. And I think it's time to conclude this week's Text the Nation. Let's have the jingle.
Text the Nation. Text, 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 text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Annoying habits that presenters have is the theme of Text the Nation this week. See what I did there?
Yeah.
I swapped it around. I cut it in half and put the end at the beginning. Now it's different and you can't tease me. Yes.
Like Yoda.
Yeah.
Annoying habits?
Yoda.
Presenters have is the subject this week. Yoda. Come on then, Yoda.
This is from Kathy in Sheffield. I hate how Dara O'Brien goes immediately after everything he says that he thinks is hilarious. It drives me mad.
That's a thing that a lot of stand-ups do, though, isn't it?
We've had various communications about Graham Norton doing that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess, what do? You do it to fill the space while the audience laugh, while they process the joke. It's the moment where they're thinking about the joke before they laugh, isn't it, that he's filling in, is he?
Yes, exactly. They're waiting for it. They're leaving
or
a pause. They're leaving a pause for a laugh, but they're trying to make it sound like a conversational tick.
Is it a subliminal cue for a laugh?
Right.
Is it telling have the audience subconsciously learnt that whenever he goes, "Arr," they're supposed to laugh?
Yes, exactly.
And he can pop it in after a weak joke and they know it's a joke.
And the other one was Gordon Brown.
Exactly.
That kind of thing.
Here's one from Warren in Chadderton. When Phillip Schofield says... brackets, somebody like the Sugar Babes have been practicing all morning and are sounding great, then they blatantly mime. He's complaining about... Now, that's on This Morning.
Oh, that can't happen. Not these days.
Oh, no, he often says that, because he's often watched them in rehearsal.
Right.
And says they're sounding great, yeah. And then they just mime the track later. I think that's a good observation from Warren. Here's another one from Ali in Edinburgh. Hi, guys. I used to have to walk out the room in absolute sweating, swearing fury as that Shan Lloyd woman did the weather. Ah! The overly stretched hands, the wrist at a stupid angle, the hair, the big daft face, and the worst bit that made my blood boil was the way you could actually hear the saliva clicking in her ridiculously wide mouth as she tried to talk in the old school BBC accent. It's quite insulting, actually, isn't
Poor
it?
Poor Sean.
Ah! I think this is more Ali's problem than Sean's. Ugh, swearing, cringing.
People do form a very personal
bond,
attachment, don't they, to people on TV, and they get very, very interested.
Yeah, I was saying one of my favourite things in the Sunday newspapers is in the Sunday Times culture section in the TV guide, they have a little box in the right-hand corner of the page where people write in single-paragraph telly rants. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're extraordinarily passionate and vindictive.
Well, who's the
they
guy...
They really make me laugh.
Who's the guy that does the 6 o'clock show in London, the London Tonight? What is his name, that geese?
Alistair Stewart.
Alistair Stewart. He is an absolute oil bag.
You see, well, he's your leaky boat. He's in your leaky boat. Here's one from Noel on the Avon. Morning, Adam and Joe. Everything the T4 team do in their intro spots makes me want to live in a cave.
You know who used to get me on T4 was June Sarpong. Like, June Sarpong started out having quite a different presentational style to the one she does now. Mm. Like, now she's far more polished. And
now she's an important political figure.
But she used to behave like she was just stoned out of her mind. Mm. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe it is T4. Quite a few people have emailed us and texted us complaining about Homes Under the Hammer. Here's one from Paul. Have you noticed how the music on Homes Under the Hammer is so literally related to a particular problem or feature of the property the presenters are talking about? For instance, if it's a bit of a wreck with a dodgy roof, they'll play Fixing a Hole by the Beatles. Or if it doesn't have a south-facing garden, they'll play Dark End of the Street.
We talked about this.
We did talk about
years ago.
It. I was trying to record that to clip out, to build up enough examples to play.
Jimmy Big Nuts.
Yeah.
Do you remember Jimmy Big Nuts' journey? Maybe I'll bring that in next
time. Oh, that's true. You did a whole thing about it.
Yeah,
that was funny.
No, because it happens a lot on documentaries, particularly on the BBC, where they don't have to pay rights.
But that show is really bad.
Right.
Homes Under the Hammer, for that phenomenon. It's really annoying.
I know, the classic one I saw was a really rubbish documentary about Asbos or something. And they had a shot of some horses in a field, and they played Horses by Patti Smith over it.
Really?
You just think, what? What's the point of that? How is that enhancing the doc in any way?
Here's a final one from Zandy Thomas. It says, hello, Adam and Joe. I can't blooming stand Tess Daly on Strictly. She stands next to Brucey, gurning and flaring her nostrils like some sort of she-bull. She's also constantly gesticulating in a manner akin to an animatronic character from a Disney ride. She'd be great stood in the Phantom Manor, frightening tiny wee children. She also has robo boobs, but I like them. So thanks to everyone. We had such a good response to that. A lot of passionate opinion, some of it pretty irrational, but that's what we wanted.
And don't forget, of course, that you can contribute your opinions on that subject still during the week for Retro Textination, which we'll do on next week's programme.
Yeah, the email address is adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. We will not be accepting texts anymore. Just email during the week, please, if you have something to contribute.
Now, you've got a free choice for us, Joe. What's...
Yeah, you know, I get fed up with, like, joke pop reggae being played all the time on radio, and I thought it was time for
what
some...
What do you mean? What kind of thing?
Well, I just think it's time people played some hardcore, like, obscure, proper, you know, Jamaican reggae.
Something really rootsy.
Something really rootsy. Mm-hmm. Something authentic.
Fair enough.
So here's Musical Youth with Pass the Dutchie.
Pass the Dutchie on the left hand side. Pass the Dutchie on the left hand side. It a go bun.
That's it from us this week, listeners. Thanks very much to everybody who texted or emailed the programme. Don't forget to check out our blog during the week. And
there's a podcast available of the show in edited form. That'll be available from Monday evening, I think. Stay tuned for Liz Kershaw. She's coming up. Don't forget to check out the details of our karaoke competition. It's all on the blog there. You can be performing with us at the Electric Proms. We'll be back with you next week at the same time.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Love you. Bye.
Bye.